Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm not recording this on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving morning, I will be with my family at home, with my dog, a bunch of my kid's dog, my daughter's cat. We're going to have three animals at the house, plus one, two, three, four, and a bunch of kids. And their significant others, fiancés. And then we'll be getting together with the neighbors and having a massive Thanksgiving together. We will actually not be alone. But as a pastor, I know many of you are physically alone. And so I very much want you to be virtually not alone. And so in this way, hopefully I can contribute to this. And I was thinking about what I wanted to do with for Thanksgiving. We don't have a Thanksgiving worship service at church, basically, because we're so tiny. We just wouldn't have that many people in the room for it. And many people are traveling and they're away at family, so on and so forth. So I thought, what kind of video could I make for this? And today I was watching, I didn't catch it live, but I was watching Gringriv's live stream, and I try to catch, I don't watch everything through with Gringriv. It's pretty easy to skim through stuff with Gringriv because there's so much branding. There's so many commercials that you can skip through the commercials. And I don't mean the YouTube commercials. I mean the TLC Virtually Not Alone branding. But today's video I thought was really helpful and it would force me to answer some questions that I couldn't answer with my video about the death of cinema. Now, most of the time when I do a video, I ramble. And as this one person in the comments section noted, this video's lack of focus to a degree that it actually made me violently angry. And I still want to know exactly how this violent anger was manifest. Maybe he busted his phone and he will be blessed by never having YouTube again. But Grizz is a really important part of this flotilla. In fact, Grizz comes up with a lot of the memes that really help me see better what is going on through his podcast, through his live streams. Now, he has all the branding on his live streams because when I'm making my videos, I can kind of pause and construct and bring things up. He's doing a live stream, so he can't pause and construct and bring things up. So he was being adjunct professor, following me as the professor. This video, The Corner, is sort of this little online community that has downstream from Jordan Peterson sort of wrapped itself around Jonathan Peugeot, John Vervaeke, and myself. And as Grimm says, is sort of a flotilla. We'll get to the flotilla quote, because Grimm, more than many, is cultivating and caring for the people of this corner. Now, his following is quite a bit smaller. When you grab his live stream, that's usually 15 to 20 people in there, and his videos maybe get 100 views. And I know if some of you think I'm ADHD, wait for his. And then with the Estuary Project, which I have been leading and working to develop, and then the Just Chatting and all of the different ways that this corner is sort of coming together and now sort of with technology, but also with people trying to get away from some of this mediated, but it's still mediated.
And embracing his own values.
Yes, this is the attention locality I'm speaking of. Now that our attention locality has shifted into ourselves and into the digital, the thing that makes this little corner, is that, like, we were all standing there watching Paul Vanderclay. Like, just imagine we're all in one place, but we're all standing there, and we're like, hey, oh, there's a guy who also watches this right next to me. And that is the thing that they don't want, I think. I think they want you behind the fourth wall as an individuated individual, and they can monitor, because this, so communion somehow on this attention platform with this
slime. What? It's a river of slime.
I warned you about the branding.
And so, you know, that's pretty much the stream. Oh, no, it's not. It's not, because because there's something terribly important that also happened in this. And let's see if we can find... Here it is. Here it is. This part happened in today's homeroom.
Oi.
To supply an unwanted or distasteful excess. So what I did, obviously, was take this from Grizz, because I always tell you, pastors are thieves. We steal ideas. We steal words. We steal concepts. We steal this. And so I brought Miriam into the... I brought Miriam into the stream, which, of course, brought a reaction from Grizz. That's usually of something originally, well, usually sweetness.
Guy goes over and he hits on Miriam, and he doesn't even tell you guys the secret coded message. Now, as you may know, we get the secret coded message from Miriam by going through the words of the day recently.
And a lot of how Grizz sort of weaves this corner together is, in fact, through ritual. And so if you watch Grizz's channel, there's a ton of ritual in Grizz's channel, from the branding. Often it's repeated. And this is how Grizz was formed and catechized by Set, the god Set, the god television Set, the American god Set. And so he'll run through some of the words.
Our secret message includes
ransack.
To search that place for something in a way that causes disorder or damage.
Laissez-faire.
An economic policy or doctrine that allows...
Now, it's helpful to remember, if you go back with my Randall's conversation with Grizz a long time ago, he was a transcriber. And what one of the things I love about Grizz is you look at him and you think, what's going on with this guy? He's all disheveled. He's even worse than PVK. His room's a mess. It's even worse than PVK, but it's not by any means random. And the man is very smart, and he has a gift with language. Because remember, he was a transcriber. Language was his use until the robots put Grim Grizz out of work. Grim Grizz is one of these people who has already been put out of work by the bots. And so he's trying to be virtually not alone out of Oklahoma by doing this. Now, I want to go through and I want to hit some points from his video. Now, a few little key hints when you start a Grim Grizz video, you can probably skip like the first 5 minutes because it's all branding. And then, of course, you're going to get your savings throws, and you're going to get your card things, and you're going to get your shanty. And at some point, he's going to start talking about what he's going to talk about. So we're 8.5 minutes in. We got the savings throws out of the way. Again, I'm not dismissing or demeaning this stuff. This is all ritual. This is all binding this community and this community enjoying each other and participating and being virtually not alone. Again, people look at this and, you know, you shouldn't watch anything on the internet that you don't want to watch. There's probably a few things you should watch that you don't want to watch, but... You know, there's actually a ton of stuff going into this that's actually weaving together a community.
And all channel members, don't forget, you can make special emojis to make the other people feel left out.
It appears the assassins have failed.
And I'm not ready to start the adjunct professing yet. That's what I do sometimes in this little corner, is I profess adjunctly. And that's what this episode, this stream is going to be. It's an adjunct professing on what was called the spiritual death of the American temple by Pastor Paul Vanderclay. He's the professing. I'm adjunct professing. Get it?
Bing, bing, boom, boom, boom.
But since I'm not ready for that, first you get more brandings. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? I ask that of all my prey. Oh! The casino card for the show is the Three of Diamonds. Welcome, welcome. Hey, Franco, good to see you, good to see you. Hey, we're doing a... Oh, we gotta do a blue church card. Sure, sure. So, the thing, this, they call it this little corner, right? And in my mind, it's a flotilla. A flotilla! And of fire ants. A fire ants flotilla in a flood of information. This little boat is a ship of a show where we gather, and we're the TLC. We're the virtually not alone, plus all the other fancy people that join us because Paul reels them in. with his magic blue church powers. With his magic blue church blue shirt powers. Casino card for the show, deuces, deuces of spades, spades. And but he actually did a fancy pants. This is the TLC in today's video, way late. It should be all the way over.
Now, he never manages to find the place that he's talking about throughout the whole video. But in going through it, I do realize how I've been given more thought to, again, stewarding, pastoring, leading, guiding this flotilla in terms of what we need it for and what it is for here. This was at the Chino conference. And at that conference, Sean Verveke was doing a lot of work and talking quite a bit about AI, and he was very concerned about the direction of AI. Now, this firing and this whole business that has happened with OpenAI, I really don't understand it. I should really bring someone onto the channel who does understand it, because I think AI is important in terms of it's going to be another one of these, like the internet, it's going to be another one of these watershed things that sort of sweeps through and changes things. Maybe not for the better, although some things might be good, possibly for the worst, but we don't know. And so this was an element of what happened at the Chino conference.
But so part of me looks at that and says, no, we can't even, you know, the anonymous person who said to me on the bus, wouldn't it be great if we're all in the same church? And it was like,
yes, but Christians hid the Jews,
yes,
during the Holocaust.
Yes. So, and when I said, you know, we can't even agree on how to do communion together, which has ironies that go very deep. But, and this is where I don't want Christian hope to be misunderstood as, let's say, certain others imagine it to be, but rather, and I'm not speaking about other traditions or religions, that's certainly not my place. But what I see in the story of Christianity again and again, and you know, this is where I very much agree with John, and I agree with Chesterton, and I agree with others, that Christianity itself keeps dying, and Christianity also continues to somehow be with the world as it crucifies its best, and it rises again. And so I think we need to very much pay attention, but I think we also need to, I think in our frame when we hear, here's a threat, we have to counter it. Sometimes that counter is along the lines of, let's say, handling the ozone problem, if we remember that from a number of years ago. Yeah. And we're going to get these problematic refrigerants out, and, oh, you know, that ozone thing isn't what it was, so on and so forth. When I look at something like AI, I think, number one, I certainly don't know really what we're facing. I think probably only a handful of people do, and many of them disagree. And this is where I sort of pull back to the larger frame and say, we can have hope. And as Christians, I believe that's where we do have a lot of resources, because to not be Pollyannish and say, well, God won't let bad things happen. And again, well, you mean like the 20th century? Like for the Orthodox Church, the rise of Islam, you know what that did to the church in the East? Like the Soviet Union did the church in the, I mean, Christianity has suffered enormous catastrophes, and Christianity is almost at its worst when it seems to have the preeminent place of power in the world.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I believe, though, that you're right in that we have enormous resources. They just don't tend to be the kinds of things that we tend to look at as our strengths.
Well, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of hyperbole that is masking ignorance around the AI issue. That's why I did not make predictions. I talk about certain choice points that where if we do this, we will move them closer to that. And if we do this, And we're not there yet, but the point is we can be there. And we'll have choice points. And I think what's going to happen, one of the things that's going to happen is every time we cross one of those thresholds, what we consider to be the human is going to be receding, like Matthew Arnold's Sea of right. Faith. And that I think the spiritual somatic dimension of us, right, the way, you know, the ineffable way in which we're embodied, and then the ineffable way in which we transcend, that is going to become more and more what human beings are going to turn to in order to get a sense of where their humanity is still being homed. And I think that is going to be... I guess this is a prediction. But I think that's going to be a special responsibility for the legacy religions, and especially in the West, Christianity to bear. There's going to be... I hope you're both right about the death and birth of Christianity, because I'm going to say this, and I hope it's understood properly. I think the most important discipline in the next coming decade is going to be theology. And that's going to be one of the greatest inversions since modernity that we... Because you can mark modernity by how far down theology falls.
I don't know that the theology that will help us will simply be that written by some of our best thinkers, although that will be too. I think it will have to be the theology that is practiced by people who will never write theological books.
From being the queen of the sciences in the academy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's suddenly going to be, that's the place, if and it's an important, if it rises to the occasion, if it rises to the occasion. Let's also remember that in the Second World War, there were lots of theological capitulators,
yep.
Right?
And I think every time I hear you say we, I think it depends what we is. And I think in that sense, that's where I see this little corner coming to meet this moment.
Oh, that's a very, I hadn't thought about that.
And that's what Grizz is doing. And that's what Nate is doing. That's what Jacob is doing. That's what Paul Ann Leitner is doing. That's what Karen Wong is doing. That's what Sevilla King is doing. And that's what Ken Lowry is doing. Channel after channel after channel, this little flotilla. We are doing the theology, and it's a mess. You got Orthodox, and you got people who aren't going to church, and we got, I mean, it is one messy flotilla. It is sort of Battlestar Galactica messy out there. But this, I think, is what we're doing in this sea of information. And part of the estuary imagery is that, of course, the water comes in from the ocean and settles into this semi-permeable harbor with lots and lots of little niches. And I never know whether you understand niche or niche better, but all these little niches, because if you go to California and you go to the coast and you go to the tidal pools, you know, the water comes in and it's sort of a big gathering and then smaller and then smaller and then smaller and smaller and smaller, and all the little tiny little pockets where the seawater comes in, and the little sea urchins and the crustaceans and little crabs, and everything's just sort of working in here. And that's what this little corner is doing. And we're all processing this together, and we're listening to each other, and we're thinking together. And some of us are praying together, and some of us are worshiping together, but we're paying attention to one another as we're processing all of these things now, as AI is looming, as we don't even know what to think about it, which, of course, how could we know what to think about it?
All the way over. Here-ish. Oh, look at that hand motion. We got to catch that. I got to see what that hand motion was about.
What's in the box can be known. And so why all this conversation about spirits and how
we participate in spirits, how spirits come again. The real... So you want to save the world. This is all about the spirits that reign. And so you see the church of the Hollywood theater is crumbling.
This was totally supposed to be the timestamp where he explains the TLC.
And churches, of course, are wrestling with their own things. And do you try to launch something spiritual? Do you try to ride a wave of a spirit that is working through the culture? How, in fact, do you decide to operate? And even though Grizz will say in a minute, no, this wasn't the timestamp, and he'll spend the entire video looking for the timestamp and never really find it to his own satisfaction. Point taken, because what is the TLC about? I mean, I throw something out here, and Grim Grizz looks on it, and he tweaks it, and he says, no, this part's wrong. Oh, this part's right. And I throw something out there, and John Vervaeke looks at it, says, this is wrong, this is right. And Peugeot, and then Peterson, and then Karen, and all the different little crustaceans in our own little tiny little tidal pool here in this one larger tidal pool in the estuary as the fresh water comes in from the land, and the seawater just flows back and forth, and we're processing, and we're giving, and we're paying attention, and we're serving. So, and there's branding.
You know, you could leave me better notes, pal. Pal is me. There's the me that makes the notes on the card, and then there's the me that tries to do the streaming. We're the same me, but it's different.
The list? Yes. Any of the first
nothing to have here.
What's his name? Patrick Willem. He's hoping maybe his church can be saved. You know, randos in the corner are working on their ideas. How can in fact we use all of these things? And here we are on YouTube. And then after doing algo, having algo, and part of what we're doing on YouTube is chewing on YouTube and is taking this craziness and breaking it down and taking the little chunks and working on it with each other. It's not just wave after wave after wave of videos always coming in. It's okay, let's pause on this. Let's chew on this. Let's work on this. Algo lead me to the death of cinema. Well, now we have angst around our chosen medium.
Why is YouTube like this?
In this video, I'm going to be building the world's largest toilet. I am going to be spending the next 50 hours locked inside of this quarter potty.
Lastly, the giant...
Wait a minute. We're all locked in this porta potty.
More branding.
This third... which means he's the cinema, and we'll be adjunct professing according to the order of timestamps, chronologically provided by my producer. He starts us off at 1:33, and we'll do that.
One way or another, we all live within a story. We live in this within a story that we tell ourselves, but that story isn't just sort of put in by ourselves into the world. That story is when John Vervaeke talked to Theo Vaughn, there's the sacred canopy, Peter Berger's, and the story within connects with the story outside, and that's basically how we participate in the universe that we live in, and it's far more than a physical.
And we go into how it was set in the newspapers and the churches that do the formation of the overall story that everybody is holding on the outside up together as this canopy. I don't really get the canopy thing, to be honest.
Okay, so I'm not going to play the Theo Vaughn video because the Theo Vaughn video is an impolite member of the process because Joe Rogan, basically, you can't use it at all. Theo Vaughn, it's like, it's a little bit restricted. Most people that I sort of, when their video wave comes over me, I can pull some things down and I can chew them and I can spit them out towards the next little title hole, and Grizz can chew on them some more and he can spit it out and Chad will pick it up and Friday Morning Nameless will do some processing and Chris Pacow will make a little song out of it. And this is exactly how the ecosystem works. This is how it functions. And Kale Zeldin, who's listening to the audio, will send me something on Twitter and I'll go back on Twitter, and different people in the different areas are all sort of working on it. And Peter Berger, John Vervaeke, was referring to the sacred canopy elements of a sociological theory of religion. And let's see if I had any highlights from the book. Now, warning to you, Grizz, the book uses a lot of fancy words. Religion is the human enterprise which a sacred cosmos is established. Put differently, religion is cosmization in a sacred mode. By sacred is meant a quality of mysterious and awesome power other than man and yet related to him, which is believed to reside in certain objects of experience. Basically, Peter Berger is talking about the fact that our little stories live in larger stories, and the larger stories govern the little stories. If you go back to the Wednesday video of the UFOs, how we interpret the experience and the phenomena that we experience, it's all about the particular sacred story that we are participating in and underneath. That's the point that John Vervaeke made very well to Theo Vaughn. But again, Theo Vaughn's video is not a nice actor in terms of the restrictions in the corner.
Next, but we do live in a story, and you're part of one right now. You're part of a hive mind. There's a story of a hive mind. There's a channel, corner, a whole internet thing. And you're part of it just by watching this. Isn't that kind of weird? You're part of this story now. Welcome, Mbadi.
Most part on cinema, which is going to the theater and receiving a story. Now, for the last 100 years, in many ways, I think cinema has competed with churches, or perhaps cinema has perhaps been the predominant church. And obviously, going to a cinema, there are rituals. There's the smell of the popcorn. There's the kind of icky feeling carpet. There's the seat. And of course, now movie theaters have sort of upped their game. You have recliners in the movie theater. Out in Rockland near me, there's a movie theater where you can order food right there in the theater. And my wife and I went there once and thought it was kind of gross because you're sitting there and everybody's noshing down on their chicken nuggets and on their greasy food. And it's like,
what am I? Am I part of this? Am I part of this? What is this slop? I've been herded into this place for mental indoctrination. No, wait, what? No.
As Grizz says, that's not the part you're supposed to say out loud.
Scene, how much do you understand? Okay, so the reason I like the way we looked at this is because he explicitly called out the way that the movie theater, the Hollywood, which fun fact is what the Druids used to make their wands out of, and the way that those were the sermons and the liturgy that those that would go on the Friday night, or depending, you know, in America, Friday nights technically anyway, and how that church experience has been lost as we've been pushed further into our cells. It's not Thursday, but check this out.
thousands of competitors in this highly fragmented market vying to entertain customers and low barriers to entry for those with great experiences. Our growth is based on how good our experience is compared to all the other screen time experiences from which consumers choose. Our focus is not Disney Plus, Amazon, and others, but how we can improve our experience for our members. A friend of mine who planted a church in a movie theater, which I found to be a very interesting social experiment because the ritual of the movie...
This little ADD portion, I think I didn't leave myself a note or anything, but I think I'm supposed to let it play to get to this next point. We'll see. I could be wrong. This could just be a squirrel chase.
Movie theater is not at all the same as the ritual of a congregation. He tried to build into the worship services times to sort of break apart what the walls and structure and liturgy of the movie theater was, which were an individual relationship with the screen to sort of get people out of their seats and talk to one another. But when you do... Now, what's good is that Grim Grizz is going to correct me in this. Now I'm going to have to zip ahead to the place that he's going to correct me. Got a lot of branding, got a lot of things, got the summum bonum, got some more cards, and this is, of course, this is part of the challenge. Well, usually if someone's in the car, I don't listen to this stuff, but I have to drive someplace to get a watch.
A single skill check yet for playing the clip I wanted to. Not once in this stream, and it's pretty terrible. But this scene here, where they're all laughing and smiling together in communion. Like he noted earlier that they were having an individual relationship with the screen, but that's not true. They're having a normative relationship with the screen in communion with everybody sitting next to them.
See right there? He's exactly right. He's exactly right. They're having a normative experience with the screen in communion with everyone sitting next to him. And that is exactly what Patrick Willem, the guy who made the Death of Cinema movie, that's exactly what he longs for. He longs for the communion with the normative. He longs for the participatory communion together with the normative attention to the screen. This, again, is what we've got the AI washing over us. We've got all the YouTubes washing over us. We've got all this information washing over us. And what we're doing here in this little corner in the estuary and the tidal pools is we're taking it apart. We're sharing it with each other. And then with estuary, within real life estuary, we come together and we talk and we process and we start, you know, if there's bullshit in there, well, you're going to have to deal with that. If there's other nutrients in there, you're going to have to deal with that. Bit by bit, by bit, by bit, by bit, by bit, we do the work.
Earlier that they were having an individual relationship with the screen, but that's not true. They're having a normative relationship with the screen in communion with everybody sitting next to them. Everybody is receiving the same programming, and it's that unity that you're sitting next to strangers and you know that at least this group of strangers has experienced the same programming as you of the external storyline, the external normative storyline. I don't know that.
Now I have to either take the blame or take credit for this because we were sort of working out who would talk to who behind the scenes with Catherine and John Van Donk. And I thought Grim Grizz had written the wrong name. He was going to talk to John Vervaeke. He wanted to talk to John Vervaeke, but I knew he wanted to talk to Jonathan Peugeot. And so I told Catherine, no, take him out of the Vervaeke slot and put him in the Peugeot slot. And this happened, and I think it's providential.
As soon as there's one leader and everybody follows, it's dangerous. But if the leader says, oh, Peter, you are my stone. I'm going to build my church on you. And then he gives authority to different disciples for different things that are important. Then you feel like, okay, so this person trusts others along the line. But if the leader doesn't trust anyone, yeah, you're in a dictatorship. Hey!
Hello.
Finally meeting you in person.
Is this working? Okay, hello.
And you got Alan Moore to flash at me.
Yes, I have a gift for you from your nemesis.
You got Prometheus. That's awesome.
It's his masterwork about the apocalypse.
Thank you. Thanks.
If you'd like
that's an amazing gift, man.
If you'd like to tear it apart symbolically, that'd be great.
That's an amazing gift. I have once in a while gone on Amazon to see if there's like a little collection I can get, and then find a way that I could buy it, but then not have my kids have access to it. If I get it, where do I put it so my kids don't read it? Sorry.
So I don't know if you're familiar with like your friends putting you into sticky situations.
Okay.
But I had a really great question for John, and Paul knew I wanted to talk to you, so this happened. Some people have gone online and accused me of stylizing myself as a holy fool. Mm-hmm. What should I make of that? Where do I go from there? And do you have any recommendations for monetizing from that position?
All right, so someone asked, I've had this question before, and someone asked me, how do you recognize the difference between just a fool and a holy fool, right? Because that's true, because sometimes they're just fools. So the question, are you just a fool?
Jury's out.
No, so actually the way that you, I think one of the ways that you recognize the fool, the holy fool, or the fool that plays the role, that's coming close to that role, is that the holy fool always makes sure that the last joke is on him, right? Always make sure that the joke, or the turn, the wheel of kind of making fun of everything at the end kind of falls back on them, and they kind of take that. So they'll make fun of the king, but then they want to make sure that at the end of the performance, everybody's laughing at the fool. And so I think that's a little image, because sometimes I'm not saying this is your case, but I have encountered people that are just mean, and that they think they're being holy fools by just being mean, and they think they can just point out what's wrong with everything, and they think that that's something that has value in itself. Not necessarily. The holy fool has a different aspect, you know, and it's also the holy fool plays a role in secretly legitimizing the thing he's participating in, you know, and that's part of what the holy fool does.
Secretly legitimizing the thing that he's participating in.
Right. So the jester is both mocking the king and legitimizing the king at the same time, right? He's helping the king to avoid the problem of tyranny with the king thinking that he's God and has no faults, and so he'll make sure we all know that the king's got everything under that robe that we do, right? It's like he's as messy as all of us, right? So he's gonna try to do that, but he's ultimately doing to serve the kingdom, right? And not to destroy it. So maybe that's it. But I don't know for the monetization part. I don't know. But
yeah, the king usually pays him, right?
That's right. That's a problem. So you gotta. It's good to meet you, man. Good to meet you.
I'm so glad I messed up. I am so glad I messed up.
Okay, so, but the points that I was hoping to make during this stream that may have made, may not been made, is that we are being further fragmented into ourselves. And as we've transitioned, see, there's this line, I guess it was when the dot-com bubble happened, right? We were all floating in this dot-com bubble, but now there's this, before the dot-com bubble, everything associated with making an income and earning a living was physical also in the physical reality. And as the dot-com bubble popped or whatever, that transition to where the money was now being made online is definitely significant as far as where our attention went as a species during this time period. Hey, Parku Parku. That's fun to say. Yes, a Burning Man, if you will. So that's significant. And now the attention is platformed like a pyramid on these digital planes in this mediated sense. As Gavin said, and who's doing the mediation? Like Google Blue Church is mediating this, Elon's mediating the Twitter or whatever. And who's doing the mediation, and what is the result of the mediation? Because when it comes to contentment, containment, entertainment, consumption of contentment creation, content creation. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Welcome to today's episode. Heads up, this one is going to be a little different than usual. I mean, so was last episode about AI filmmaking, but this time we are taking that baton and running farther into uncharted territory. See, this is a video that I have been threatening to make for years, a topic that I have been stewing over for a very long time, and finally, the time has come. Over the past 15 years or so, a new word has become a part of our vocabulary. Well, it's technically a word that already existed, but it has found a new meaning. As the internet, particularly YouTube, has allowed people to make careers by independently producing and releasing creative work online, that work has been broadly labeled content.
Talking about making content.
Create more content.
Consistently post content.
That quality content.
Snippet worthy content.
Your content.
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 And more recently, the definition of the word has expanded. Now, content doesn't just apply to internet media made by independent creators. Now, it applies to traditional media like movies and TV as well.
Our great content is what drives our numbers.
Even more content.
More original content. Great content.
Increasing the amount of content. Content for kids. Content for families. Nonfiction content. Bouquet of content. Array of content.
Anyone who's ever met me in person or follows me on Twitter knows that I am not a huge fan of this word. And I realize that this might sound sort of crazy. After all, aren't I a content creator? Don't—
No, you are not, and neither am I. Oops, someone's knocking at the door. Nope, it was just my dog getting restless. I'm going to have to bring this to a close.
Don't I literally make content for a living? What the hell am I talking about? This is all true. I do technically make content, which does technically make me a content creator. But I don't like saying that. I have spent years complaining about this to friends who mostly don't care. While stuck on that island, I tried to write a whole book on the subject, except I was writing it in the sand, and then the tide came in and washed it all away. And other Patrick, for all his many flaws, felt the same way, and even had this important line in his theme song. Just don't call content. So yeah, we are here today to talk about a word. I am fully aware that this is a stupid problem. It doesn't really matter. Why am—
It's not a stupid problem.
Am I making such a big deal about it? Well, when it comes to content, it's not like I just hate the sound of the word. I'm not nitpicking and claiming it's grammatically incorrect. My issue is with what I think it represents. I think content is a state of mind that can have a much larger cultural effect than you might expect. And when it comes to art and cinema and the industries around them, I think the widespread embrace of the word content actually means something. This word comes preloaded with a bunch of implications that we're going to get into, but the reason I want to talk about this right now is that my underlying concerns with content, or rather the meaning behind it, are kind of being shared by Hollywood at this very moment. As we speak, the Writers and Actors Guilds of America are both on strike, something that hasn't happened since 1960. That's close to 200,000 people who agree with me. sort of. Obviously, they're not striking over the word content the way I've threatened to numerous times.
They're striking over money. I'll put the link to his video below.
But this, you guys get it. I think it could be such that, like, what's actually happening and the real storylines and the live participation in each other's lives as cybernetically telekinetic, whatever we are, is the way the wave might crash. If the EMP and the solar flare stuff doesn't happen anytime soon, you know.
And that's pretty much the end of it. It's not content. It is attention. And it is relationship that we hopefully are finding with each other. And it's not just with a content creator like me or Peugeot or Verveke or Peterson or anybody else who's putting stuff on this YouTube thing. It's hopefully spilling out into a denim dinner. Grizz did his savings throws.
14.
That's nice. A 14. Nice. Card folks, that's a 9. Let's see what the indigo did, guys. You guys can see this. Look at that.
Oh,
that, yeah. Oh, that's a 3. You guys got the Trinity today. Welcome. This is what you've paid for. Like, I don't know if you in particular are watching, but at least some of you have put money into a link to put me in this garage. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that.
It was also in the basement. That was the deal, to put him in the basement.
And the kids' room. Grimms has been all over the place.
Yeah.
And the whole house, almost.
Almost, yep.
Scaring the dogs.
Oh, look, there's chat we can't read.
Well, here, we can get the chat.
Yeah, load up the chat, Chad.
All right, I'll load up the chat. Yeah, so it was. What was quite interesting was, it's all been quite interesting, I thought. But Dolly is terrified of Grim Grizz, which is hilarious.
First dog I've ever met that was scared of me.
Which is, you know.
She just knows that you're the alpha. That's all.
I think she has a crush and she was being shy, but everybody else said it was fear.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, yeah, I see Dr. Lenny in there.
We got Dr. Lenny. We got leftovers. Yes, we had leftovers for breakfast.
Yes, we had prime rib and eggs for breakfast.
May they continue to do so.
Yeah. So choice.
We'll take questions from anybody in the chat since Chad's reading the chat. Ben. Mm-hmm. You're the least famous in this garage. Why don't you?
All right. So we all met here in Chad's lovely abode down in Exonia, Wisconsin, to have a discussion and an estuary meeting. How many people were familiar with the estuary format, Chad, would you say?
Let's see. There was 12 people.
Yep.
Okay. I think 9 were familiar with it.
And there were 4 alcoholics, huh?
Yeah, 4 alcoholics, yep.
So they have previous meeting experience that probably helped out?
Yes, I think it did actually help out a lot.
All right.
Laura Freeburn made it down, but she had to take off last night, so can't be part of this live stream.
It's because her husband came, but he wasn't going to stay that long, you know? Mm-hmm. He's got responsibilities in the real world.
Normies can't stay too long, otherwise they turn into one of us.
Yeah.
Normies can't stay too long. Otherwise, they turn into one of us. And I think that's the message for Thanksgiving. So I am thankful for you, the people who watch this channel. And if you've made it all the way through this video, you've become one of us. And I know the channel has grown to a size which is already in some ways too big. Granted, the channel has grown to a size where I can't know each of you as well as you deserve to be known. And I'm sorry about that. But the whole purpose of this little corner and Estuary and Symbolic World and the Verveke Foundation and is so that we can know and be known and love and be loved. And so on this Thanksgiving Day, I am thankful to God for this little corner, for this little strange flotilla of strangeness, where people can be loved for either their normality or their abnormalities, and we can enjoy one another in a way that is unique, just as unique as each one of us is. So if you are watching this on Thanksgiving Day because you are physically alone, I hope that via this video you are virtually not alone, and that in one way or another you might have a sense of communion, that even if we're watching the screen, we're watching the screen in some way together. So have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you in the YouTube waters.